from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll get a preview of the Swiss Wine Festival in Vivi.
I'll talk with the Indianapolis Arts Center's Carter Wolf about their upcoming open house.
And I'll chat with painter Gayla Hodson about her work. Plus, we'll have our Arts Calendar Week all.
What do we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. A chance to sample some of the best vintages from Indiana wineries, crafts, food, and family fun, Aaron Tippin and Sammy Kershaw, and even an opportunity to try stomping grapes. All of these are part of a road trip to the 40th Swiss Wine Festival coming up August 23rd through the 26th in Vivi, Indiana, on the beautiful Ohio River. Sharon Gamble learned more from festival organizers Steve Crabtree, Suzanne Rayless, and Paula Myers.
Steve, I want the big picture. I want to understand why there is a wine scene there in the first place.
Switzerland County was had the first commercial winery in the United States. And many years ago, back in the 60s, some local people thought that it would be nice to start a wine festival.
I assume that that because it was called Switzerland County, there was a decent-sized Swiss settlement there, but what was the attraction?
Well, the attraction was the river with the south slopes, and that's what brought the Dufours here in the very beginning to start the wineries and grow the grapes. But over the years, it fell out, and then back in the 60s, a group of local people decided to get it started again.
And there's been kind of an explosion of wineries in Indiana in the last decade or so. About how many wineries are in the area and how many are participating in the festival?
There are probably in the Ohio River area, I would say there's close to 10 or 12, and I might be off a little on that. But there'll be 12 Indiana wineries from all over the state at our festival starting on Friday at 3 o'clock.
And what percent of these wineries are growing their own grapes, or where are they getting their grapes? Are they locally sourcing the grapes?
It depends on the size of the winery. Some of your smaller wineries use juice. Some of your larger wineries have their own vineyards. It just depends on the winery and what their size is.
Mm-hmm. The wine scene has driven tourism in general in the area, yeah?
Yes, ma'am, it has. It's a very good asset for our community because we do have a couple of local wineries. We have one that has a tasting room on the river, and you can actually go out on their deck, and it's called the Ridge Winery, and it's on State Route 156 above Vivi, about 3 or 4 miles.
The festival that started in the 60s got too big, right?
Yes, it did. Our little town of 2,000 people had 100,000 people in it.
Oh, my gosh!
Yeah. So we decided to back off for a while, and then a few years later, they brought it back as a lot smaller, and it's continued to grow, but it's not anyways near what it used to be.
So, and that's a good thing, but for the benefit of, a lot of our listeners are involved in various kinds of festivals as volunteers or as arts
Sure.
administrators. What does a festival that's too big look like? I mean, what were the problems? Were people trying to stay in the area and just couldn't find rooms and they got, you know, fussy?
Right, or? Right. They were sleeping in the alleys and on people's porches, and it was not pretty, I was told.
Well, then that was the time to reinvent it. So what is your ideal attendance?
We usually average around 20,000, depending on the weather and the economy at the time, somewhere in that area.
And that's over the entire event, the several
days
of the event.
That's starting Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. It's a Swiss wine festival, but if you don't happen to like wine, I understand there might be some other things that you can drink?
Right. We also have a beer garden that offers Anheuser-Busch products, and they also have local wines in there for sale and other drinks if beer and wine is not your cup of tea. But there is no hard liquor.
What's your personal connection to the wineries? Are you just somebody who couldn't say no when you were asked to volunteer to chair something?
I attempted to grow some grapes on my farm and was unsuccessful with that. So I met a lot of the wineries. I know a lot of them, and I really like wine, too, so that's a good asset to have. But I kind of fell into the wine pavilion, and, you know, it's just something that I like to do, and I like supporting the community and helping and volunteering.
Sure. Over the years you've been involved, is there a favorite memory, a favorite moment?
Well, there's a lot of those memories from the wine festival. I can't really pinpoint, you know, one thing. I know we always like to see the wine festival be successful. And I think, you know, if we don't have a lot of bad weather I do remember one year, a windstorm came through and, we were under the big tent, and somebody said, grab the pole. So I grabbed this big pole on this tent, and it actually picked me up.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not a very small person, so. But everything was fine. The tent didn't fall down. We were okay.
Come to the Swiss Wine Festival for your adventure. It's an extreme sport.
We're okay.
We're playing tag team here, and I'm going to ask you to hand the phone over to Paula Myers.
Well, we would love for people to come. It's a great event. It's a family atmosphere, and we look forward to seeing everyone in August.
Thank you so much. Fabulous.
Hello.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
So there is so much entertainment at the Swiss Wine Festival. Can you kind of sketch that out for us? What sorts of things can people see and do? Obviously, they know if they're interested in wine, they can taste a lot of wine. But what else can people do, and in particular, what can they do if they happen to bring people too young to drink with them?
Okay, well, we have the carnival rides, which is always a big draw for family, for kids. We also have animal shows during the festival. And, of course, we have a dunk booth this year, which would be exciting for kids to watch or participate in and cheer on. And the arts and the crafts. We have basketball tournaments going on. Just a lot of different varied things for different ages of kids.
Tell me about the headlining music entertainers. You've got some people with some pretty big reputations coming.
Oh, sure we do. We have Aaron Tippin and Sammy Kershaw on Friday night.
And Aaron Tippin's kind of he's not that young anymore, but he's still a younger generation. He's kind of a new country guy, and Sammy Kershaw a little bit more established.
Correct. And, you know, once you get a following of these gentlemen, I really look for a very large crowd to come in on Friday night. It starts at 7 o'clock and is over at 10:30. And they have moved this over into our ball field, so that gives us more seating and more, you know, room to get people in.
And there's no additional charge for the concert, right?
No. You pay the $4 to come in, and... you know, you get to see both of these guys for the entire concert. I don't know that there's anywhere that you can go see these guys for $4.
No kidding. Well done. Well planned. In addition to these national guys, maybe international, since their reputations are pretty big, you have a lot of more local acts with different kinds of music, right? Different styles.
Yeah, we have a 50s-60s band that always seems to be a good draw. That's Hot Wax. They put on a really good show. Brittany Gilstrap, I'm sorry, I knew I'd mess up that name. She always brings in, you know, a pretty good draw there. We just have, like, Country Express. We have a contemporary Christian, her name is Kristen Hobbs. High Tops is a teen. There again, it's something for everybody. We have a country band, Diamondback. We have the Sounds of Dixieland. It's a Sterling Entertainment that people just really seem to, it's an older couple. They stroll around the grounds, and it's a real enjoyment for people there. So there again, we have something that's going to be for everybody.
Including, if people are fans of America's Got Talent, you have a Kenyan acrobatics team. Talk about Zuzu.
I'm not real up on that one. I'm sorry about that. Maybe Suzanne would be able to fill you in on that. Hi.
Hi. What do you know about Zuzu, the Kenyan acrobatics group? That's pretty
cool.
All
I know is they were finalists on America's Got Talent.
Fantastic. I saw them, and they are amazing, amazing.
Yeah, I think I saw them, too. I'm a regular watcher of that show every year. And I think it was a couple years ago when they were on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Suzanne, how'd you get involved with Swiss Wine Festival?
Oh, that's a long story. I kind of got roped in, too. I had a couple small part-time jobs, and somebody approached me to be coordinator of the wine festival, and I didn't know what I was getting into. It's a lot bigger the job than what I expected, but I enjoy it. This is my seventh year.
Yeah, well, see, then you're an insider, and all of a sudden you're needed, and that's how they keep you in.
Oh, I know. They keep me reeled in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please tell me you like wine, and at committee meetings you get to sample some of the product.
I love wine, but no, we don't bring out the wine during committee meetings. Sometimes afterwards we do, but
there
not during. Yeah, we wouldn't get much accomplished if we brought out the wine. But that's a great idea. I'll bring that up at the next board meeting, because I'm all for that.
Yeah, you might get more committee members. I'm just saying. You know, you get through the agenda, and that's your reward at each committee meeting.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
What are you most looking forward to at this year's festival?
Probably our big name group on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the first time we've ever done anything this large, so we're hoping it'll be a big success.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't, and I tell Steve that and Paula that you may grow the festival again, and it might get too big again. So
I've kind of wondered about that. I think it'll do really well. We've got a lot of very positive responses on it. So,
you know, the one thing we haven't talked about yet that I want to hear about is the grape stomp.
Okay, the grape stomp. In the past, we've had like news media come down and people from magazines, and they kind of do a competition with that. I'm not sure how we're going to do that this year, but anybody can come up and stomp grapes, and that's a big. A lot of people like to do that. It's just a fun thing to do. I believe they stomp for 2 minutes, and then on Sunday they have like a stomp off.
It sounds like it might be cooling as well in this
hot
weather.
Yeah, that too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sharon Gamble with Steve Crabtree, Suzanne Raylis, and Paula Myers. The Swiss Wine Festival will be in Vivi, Indiana, August 23rd through the 26th. The Aaron Tippin and Sammy Kershaw concert is free, with festival admission on Friday night. There are activities for the whole family, including riverboat cruises on the Ohio. You can learn more at SwissWineFestival.org.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. The Indianapolis Arts Center has lots of ways to make, see, and buy art. Travis DeNicola spoke with the center's president and CEO, Carter Wolf, about the upcoming open house and their annual summer Art Sparkle Party.
Carter, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Travis, and congratulations on your new bookshop. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much. I neglected
to bring another box of books today. So
keep them coming. We still need them. But that's going well. It's nice that we've both got very cool spaces doing cool things.
Yeah.
And the Art Center continues to be a great space to make and learn and see, and it's not exactly your tagline, but it's pretty close. I mean, you guys do so much stuff with great art, and got a couple cool events coming up. The most recent one the one coming up in the nearest future, the open house, which is always great, because that's kind of when everyone gets a chance to see what the Art Center offers, right?
Well, it's August 10th. That's next Friday night. So we love it because people come and It's totally free, we have demos, and we have lots of hands-on activities, and we have ways to people engage and try things out and really see what our classes are all about.
So what are some of the things people can do at the open house? I mean, they get a sort of a sneak peek into a whole bunch of different classes that they can enroll with, but what do they actually get to do that night?
Well, all the studios are open. A few of them will be demos, like the wood shop. Some of the ones that people would think might be demos, we're doing hands-on. For example, you can come in and do scratch molds in the sculpture department in steel and stone.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you scratch into an open face mold, and we will pour aluminum at that night into those molds. And you'll have a rough piece by the time it comes out of there, but it'll be cool.
So you can, like, walk away with some, like, cool aluminum piece? That
that's neat. Okay. You just have to remember to do it backwards.
Yeah.
So that's going to be one of them. We have another one we started last year that was real popular, is kind of a musical chairs version of painting. And so we have easels set up in a circle, and there's probably about 20, 25 people at a time, and you go around, and you have so many minutes on each one, and you go to the next easel. So it's a really lots of group paintings going
out once. Oh, so everyone keeps
on
adding on to what someone else has done before?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and
cool.
You get different styles. It's a real collective. You know, you come out of there with something that'll be in MoMA someday.
And then you've got, you mentioned some demos. Of course, glass blowing is really popular, and you've got demos of that.
Absolutely. And we've tried to make glass more accessible, too, in lots of ways. So with other kinds of classes that are not necessarily 15 weeks. So we've really moved in a direction that so people can try things to sign up for. But also it's such a cool and sexy material.
Oh, yeah.
It's extremely plastic, and it just changes. And that's what we teach. You know, how do you do it? How do you make beautiful things out of molten glass? So that's
very
always
cool.
A good one.
I saw you can bring your own T-shirt or a bag for printmaking, for screen printing.
Yeah, we'll be printing, and we'll be doing just things that people can try out and use the process. You know, printmaking is one of those things where it's not always exciting when you think about it, but when you try it, it's a very exciting process. And when you reveal your prints and your levels of printing, because that's really fun. We also are using our darkroom. Nowadays, you know, originally it was all about film, both black and white and color, and we still do that. We still teach that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also developing classes in a dark room where it's more about exposure. It's about the magic of dark room for kids.
People
or
still use dark rooms?
Well, it's not the kind of exposure you're talking about, but it really, when you think about photosensitized papers, and photosensitized materials and light and creating images right there in the dark room without a camera.
Yeah.
It is exciting. And I tell you, you know, kids love it because they grew up after film. They grew up all digital.
Sure.
And it's
and
magic.
So you take things like a leaf or a coin or whatever, and you get the cool shadows.
Yeah, sure, and you can move things around and create different images. It's
but
magic.
Even, you know, even just having a dark room is a pretty cool thing that you guys have because, I mean, so many of them have sort of gone away as people have shifted to digital, but obviously there's a lot of photographers who are still using film and need the access to a dark room. And I know a lot of artists, you know, come and participate in what's going on at the art centers because you guys have great facilities.
Well, it is still a rich form of photography that I think is going to be around a long time. And when you see a very high-quality film print, it's nothing like it.
Now you've also, of course, have demos in ceramics, a very popular class that you offer.
Oh, yeah. And we do lots of things in ceramics now. We have some new and improved equipment in there, which we like to show off. We also be having ceramic bowls for sale that our students and faculty have made that from $5 to $20, but it comes with yats. So you get
so
white chili
nice.
Or something like that's what we had last year.
It's a good deal.
And you get the chili and the bowl, and it's one of the few things that actually have a cost to them, but you go home with a beautiful finished product.
So the open house is free, right?
Absolutely.
There's costs, as you mentioned, for like if you want to buy a bowl.
And all the demos
some
are
other
free.
Things.
All the things in the classroom are hands-on are free.
Do you have to register at all or just show
No,
up?
It's walk-in. It's 2 hours It's a great hustle and bustle. It's kind of like being at the state fair. There's all these different things going on at the same time. And it really is fun. A lot of people just come and watch what's going on. Of course, we also have food and beverage. You know, we never not have that at the Art Center. But it is a great way for people to get a sampling, to see what's going on, and just try it out.
And again, this is coming up Friday night, August 10th.
Mm-hmm. Next Friday.
And what time?
6 to 8.
6 to 8. Okay. And again, all at the Indianapolis Arts Center. Of course, many people know the Arts Center because they go enjoy the Broad Ripple Art Fair. And it's that very funky, cool building up there just north of Broad Ripple that that houses the Arts Center. Beautiful location on the White River and the Monon.
Absolutely.
67th Street. It's a great, great spot.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. So, and that leads us into our fall classes, too.
Well, exactly. Because really, the open house is a preview for fall classes.
Right.
I mean, that's what you want to get people enrolled in. Those classes start up August 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's going on.
End of the
that.
Month. Well, classes have are still, we have the basic pieces we've always had, the high quality classes in ceramics and painting and watercolor. But we've also, besides adding some new things, we've also tried to make classes more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So the real excitement and joy comes out of working a process in a 15-week class. But if you don't have 15 weeks, or you're going to be gone on vacation or traveling for work.
Sure.
We've created different lengths of classes where you get a segment of that.
Okay.
So you can do 4, 5, 7, 8, 10, 12-week classes, which means those shorter ones you can also sign up later on in the semester because they stagger. And try to make it accessible. Time is the commodity. You know, that's
We're
all vying for these days.
I think that's great because there's a lot of people who would love to, I want to take a painting class again. Maybe I haven't done it since college or something, but, you know, can't commit to 15 weeks, but, you know, 4 weeks.
Yeah, get back into it. Yeah,
and it's a great way to do it.
Or try something out without as much investment.
You've also got a couple cool special things going on this fall. One of them is you've done iron pours in the past. This
mm-hmm.
is a pretty big deal. I know you've got another big iron pour coming up in October.
Well, actually, this is quite different. We're not doing the same iron pour, although we will do last night with an after dark pouring, which is always fun.
For the fireworks.
But before we brought in, people would come in from around the country who are iron lovers, iron specialists. They'd bring their sometimes their own furnaces. This is actually a class, and this class will be done as a process where we'll actually be creating the molds and the pieces in a full classroom setup, and it'll conclude with the pouring in October.
Okay.
And it's on October 13th. It won't actually be the end of the class because you'll be able to come back and finish
it.
And it's actually taking this and putting it into our curriculum.
Okay. Cool. Hey, one last thing I want to ask you about the fall classes. I know there's, tons of things offered, and of course people can come to the open house and get more information, get your catalog, visit you online. But something I saw that I thought was great is Ellie Siskin, who's a terrific painter. She's coming back to teach a couple classes. Right?
We are so excited about
that.
She's such a friend of the Art Center. She
she
retired from teaching. She still paints and still has her studio, but she is such a joy to work with and such an outstanding instructor, and we've coaxed her back in to do workshops. So you can do that in a two sessions of 4 weeks that will be shorter versions, and you'll
get
to work with Ellie again.
What a great opportunity for painters to work with someone who's so talented.
And she knows the whole range.
Yeah.
I mean, she really has it. So that's exciting, and she's just such a dear person.
Nice. That's great, Carter. Hey, you've got something else important coming up, and that is your big annual party, the Art Sparkle. This year, it's a tiki lounge, a twilight theme, coming up Saturday, August 18th. You guys
throw a huge
end-of-summer party. What's going on with this one?
Well, the theme changes every year, but some things don't change. It's always casual.
Yep.
It's always fun. So bring
outside
your shorts, your sandals. Or, it is definitely a dress-down event. But we have 20 of the best restaurants in town are going to be there, including all the ones that you eat, all 20 of them probably.
well,
one of your neighbors,
our
bistro, is in there.
Yeah, you got my favorites right there, you know.
Yeah, 20 Tap is a new one for us, and they've become quite a popular eating place as well as their 20 Taps. Yes, O. Yelms, one of my favorites, and, mm-hmm. and a big supporter of the Art Center as well down on Illinois and 56th Street. So
that's great.
It's going to be great
so
food.
Lots always great food, drink, entertainment.
Always have adult beverages, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Blue Moon is a sponsor. We have beer, wine, and we'll have some signature drinks as well. And when it starts to mellow out in the evening, our music will be by Leisure Kings. And, of course,
very fun.
Leisure Kings, that's Mike Wiltrout. He's hardly leisure, right? But he is a real talent around here, also has the Impalas. And he is a treat all by himself, but he's bringing the full band.
Well, I know it's a couple weeks off, but, you know, with the weather we've been having, it's hot enough. A tiki lounge sounds like a pretty good idea as
yeah,
far as
you
way
know,
to
summer breezes.
Hot, sultry night.
Yeah, you get that grass
cocktails.
Skirt out you've been wanting to use.
I haven't worn that in years.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about, Carter.
Have taken out.
Well, that sounds fun. People can still get tickets online or by calling the Art Center. Call the Art Center 255-2464 or visit
Absolutely.
Their website. And this is a pretty big, important fundraiser for you.
It is for it. It supports all our program services, and 50% of our organization is supported by outside grants, fundraisers, and sustainers. So it is very important to us. We also have made it so that we've done a lot of things now where you can't afford not to be a member, and it's half price for members. So it's $150,
oh, nice.
$75 for a member. And
so you get your membership right there, and if you're a member, then you get discounts on everything
else. And you
can
become a member
else.
For as little as $50. So
cool.
it's like our class discounts for members. You can't afford not to be one. And that way we get to communicate with you all year.
There you go. Carter, it's always a pleasure
it's
communicating
pleasure
with
too.
You right now. Great to have you on, Carter Wolf from the Indianapolis Arts Center. Best of luck with your open house coming up, as well as your Art Sparkle. A lot of great stuff is always going on at the Indianapolis Arts Center.
Thanks. Thanks for being a friend.
Travis DiNicola with the Indianapolis Arts Center's Carter Wolf. Their open house takes place on Friday, August 10th from 6 to 8 p.m., and you can get more information at IndianapolisArtsCenter.org, but Indianapolis is INDPLS, so IndianapolisArtsCenter.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
Oh, it's finally happened. All of the gardening stuff has been moved out of the way, clearanced out of the stores in favor of back to school.
Yes, it is that time, is it not?
It is. Mm-hmm. But never fear. Even if your kids are already
Get
back in the classroom.
Backpacks and trapper keepers.
Trapper keepers. That's just so fun
those.
To say. That's why that product's still around. But we have a way to ease the sting of back to school with some fun things to see and do, some of them even with your school-age kids, mm-hmm. on our calendar. We call What do we do?
There you go. Singing the Blues on Broadway about going back to school. Well, not quite, but just Singing the Blues on Broadway is the Carol Woods concert that is going to be taking place at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club. Mm. And it is actually going to be a great mix of blues and gospel standards, all types of stuff. Carol Woods is at home with all of them. She's performed in Chicago and Smokey Joe's Cafe, Stepping Out, Goodbye Girl, Grind, Big River, whole bunch of great shows. And she will be at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club August 10th and 11th, both nights, 8 p.m. It should be a great, great show. If you haven't had a chance to check out a performance at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, now is the time.
Fantastic.
And you don't have to be a member to go.
That's good to know.
Yes.
That's good
absolutely.
To know. It's mm-hmm. it's so elegant. It's an excuse to dress up a little bit, too. It's
yes.
Makes
yes,
a nice
is.
Date night if
it
you've
would.
Spent a while since mm-hmm. you've been on a date. Hey, speaking of things that would be a fun date night, but this is actually something you can take your kids to as well. It's almost over. It's been a fun summer at Museum Nights on the Canal at the Indiana History Center. And on this coming Thursday, that's August 9th at 5 and 6 o'clock, you can see a demonstration of and get a lesson in how to do, are you ready?
I'm ready.
The Foxtrot.
Oh, fun.
It's a great classic dance that everybody should try at least once. And then at 7 o'clock, you can hear live music and test out your newfound skills. So take your family down to the canal at the Indiana History Center on Thursday, August 9th, 5 and 6 o'clock, demonstration and lesson, 7 o'clock, the dance.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you are a fan of writer Kathy Day's book, The Circus in Winter, in fact, she was just down at the new Indie Reads Books store reading that just a little bit ago.
That's right.
Well, there was a great musical that was created by students at Ball State, and if you missed that, well, here's sort of a second opportunity. They're going to be doing a staging of it. It's not a full stage production. It's more of a 45-minute sort of concert reading, so no sets or costumes, but you can definitely get a sense of what the show is about, and they're doing this at Ball State on August 12th at 7:30, and it will be a lot of fun, definitely worth checking out. It's part of a fundraising benefit that they're putting together for a theater competition that they're taking the show to. If you're interested in going up to Muncie to check it out, go to the Ball State website at bsu.edu, and under their calendar, look for Circus in Winter, and you can get all the information for the show on August 12th.
Fantastic. Speaking of Indie Reads, there's a new event going on at Indie Reads. It's Saturday Storytime. If you're hearing us on our Friday night show, you can go tomorrow morning at 11:30, take your little ones, and new stories each week from the Junior League of Indianapolis Readers, and all used children's books are $1 each. So if your children say, me, I want to take books home, well, what a great way to encourage them to read. So Travis, this is right, every Saturday morning at 11:30?
Thanks to Junior League.
That's fantastic. Yeah. What a great partnership. Congratulations on that, and we'll see you down at Indie Reads Books.
Very cool. Hey, this could be a really fun concert. I'm curious because I want to go check out any place that's called the Hedgehog Music Showcase, which I honestly had not heard of before until now. But apparently it is a great place to see music in beautiful downtown Arcadia, Indiana, which is just north of Noblesville. And yeah, so the Hedgehog is going to have performances by George Cole and Yura Khanna, which sounds like sort of Parisian cafe, jazz,
ooh,
music, all types of fun stuff. And these shows are coming up on Friday, August 10th, show at 7:30 at the Hedgehog Music Showcase on West Main Street in Arcadia, Indiana. I'm not making this up.
No, I saw that calendar note, too. He's not making it up.
Yeah, so it sounds great. George Cole and Yura Khanna, they've really neat music. It's been featured on NPR, on lots of different things, and this is a great opportunity to check them out at the Hedgehog.
How many funds would a hedgehog hedge if a hedgehog could hedge funds?
If you need more information, you should call the Hedgehog at 984-3560. That's the Hedgehog's number.
And if you're thinking...
Sharon, did you just snort? I think you did.
I think I did. And if you have any kind of festival named after a small, adorable animal, don't forget to send us your listing about it. Our email address is artofthematter@wfyi.org. We accept all small animal
themed. We were talking squirrels
events
last week with
we
Rita Cohn. Why not hedgehog?
I have no idea how to go from there to the Symphony on the Prairie concert this week. Which,
other than there will be maybe some gophers out there.
There might be gophers on the prairie. That's right. 40 years of American Pie. An evening with Don McLean.
Oh, that's going to be really cool. That should be a great show.
He's making a Symphony on the Prairie debut. He's joining the ISO string section and celebrating 40 years of his hit song, American Pie. And countless generations of folks know every word to that, and probably including present company and our listeners. So you can check that out.
Starry Starry Night.
Great album. I still have it on vinyl. And yes, I still have a turntable. But
I'm sure there was a
subject.
Gopher down in that levee.
I'm sure so.
Oh,
what
my
other furry animal events do you have?
So Footlight Musicals is presenting Godspell. Not sure how to make that connection, but tickets are on sale now. And in fact, maybe you saw a little flash mob the other day on the Circle that was related to that. They're opening up the show now, and it runs through August 19th. More information at footlight.org.
I'm sure that if you choose just the right e-reader, you can look at pictures of small furry animals on it. Who knew that would be the theme? You'd think it might be dog days since it's now August, but no, we're going with
hedgehogs. It's the rodent days of summer.
It's rodent days of summer, that's right. Rats. If you don't know... stop it. If you don't know what kind of e-reader you'd like to try out and you don't want to stand in a store with a salesperson breathing down your neck while you try them out, you should take advantage of the library system's Tinker Station. It's an e-book Tinker Station, and it moves around the system. This coming Monday, it'll be at the Hawville branch at 10 o'clock. On Tuesday, it'll be the Spades Park branch at 10. And next Saturday, it'll be at the InfoZone branch at 10 and Central Library at 10. So you can check out an e-reader for yourself or for an Art of the Matter present. I'm just saying.
No, that sounds like a fine idea.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a very fine idea. Hey, also another great outdoor concert that's coming up. In fact, this weekend on Sunday, the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra with Time for Three, those great fun guys, are performing Symphony Under the Stars at the Wild Air Farm in Zionsville. And as part of this night, they're going to be performing some really cool music by Coldplay, as well as Vivaldi. I mean, how often do you hear?
I have never heard those two musical talents
right.
in the same sentence.
So anyways, it should be a really, really cool night. I'm looking forward to this. This should be a lot of fun. I mean, definitely a great concert. Gates open at 6 p.m. Again, this is on Sunday at the Wild Air Farm in Zionsville. If you've never heard Time for Three play before, well, they are a real treat. Some great guys, Zach Depew, Nick Kendall, and Ron Meyer. And definitely check them out. More information at the ISO.
Speaking of music, the Indie Jazz Fest is coming up. You'll hear more about this in a future show, but it's a week-long celebration, September 10th through the 16th. Tickets are on sale already at indiejazzfest.net. Sorry about that. All kinds of jazz, including a special day devoted to smooth jazz. That's kind of the nightcap of the jazz festival, although it happens during the day on Sunday, September 16th. But don't forget, Jazz Fest is not just that final weekend series of concerts. It takes place for an entire week at venues all around the city. The Jazz Kitchen, the Crystal DeHaan Fine Arts Center at the U of I, the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, Indiana Landmark Center, and just all over the place. Young musicians, established musicians, and every kind of jazz that you can name, and a few you've never heard of. So go to indiejazzfest.net and start choosing your events right now.
Very cool. Hey, last thing that I want to mention, Sharon, of course, the State Fair is coming up. And the official artist in residence this year for the Indiana State Fair is the award-winning photographer Harold Lee Miller, and his images are going to be on public display at the fair every day from August 3rd through the 19th in the Normandy Barn. And these are photos from his recent book, Fair Culture, which was published by the Indiana Historical Society. And it's a finalist for the 2011 Book of the Year through Forward, which is very cool. And anyway, some beautiful pictures of not just the Indiana State Fair, but all types of other state fairs that are included in Miller's work, and definitely worth checking out when you go to the state fair.
Give you a new perspective on the fair.
There you go.
Yeah.
We will be back next week, Sharon, with more
small
furry
animals
rodents and that calendar we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Hudson is not afraid of blank canvases. This painter's exuberant work is on display locally at Chase Tower, Summit Realty Group, and many other places. And you can see her new show, The Serendipity of Gayla Hudson, at Carmel's Renaissance Fine Art and Design Gallery from August 11th through the 31st. Sharon Gamble invited Gayla to our studios to learn about her process and how a Creative Renewal Fellowship changed her life.
Well, Gayla, something you just said before I turned your microphone on tells me this is the exact right place to start. Blank slate. Obviously, like any artist, you have stacks of blank canvases around you just waiting for inspiration. Is that daunting? Is it scary at all?
No, it's exciting. It's so exciting to have these white canvases and just get started. And it's just a global canvas that's white, has nothing on it. And then you start with the details, and it just grows. It's just an intuitive process. For me, it's very intuitive.
When you were first starting out in art, did you experiment with different kinds of art? Did you try sculpture? Did you try pastels? I mean, how did you end up where you are right now? Was there an experimentation period?
Yes, there was. I started with, you know, again, it was just such a global process. I started with so many different materials, like ceramics and jewelry. And in college, you know, you have to take all the classes, the drawing,
sure.
the painting, the all the different classes that you have to take and or you want to take. And I thought, I'm never going to find the one thing that I really, really love, because I was jumping around so much. I never really was getting good at one thing. And when I was teaching art for 12 years, again, you're doing all these different things, which is fun, but I never really felt like I was getting really good at one thing
mm-hmm.
or skilled or knowledge about one thing. And I always came back to painting. I always came back to painting different materials, watercolors, oils, acrylics, gouaches, just an array of different, you know, materials and painting. And I just had to tell myself, that's what I love. I love painting. Stay there. Keep doing it. And just, you know, it's fun to take another class, like a sculpture class or a jewelry class every once in a while. But really, painting, I found to be my passion.
You fairly recently moved from having a studio in the Stutz to moving your studio to your home in Fishers, right?
Right, right.
Is there anything about going from a place where there is a little bit of a built-in social factor, not that all the Stutz artists are there at the same
mm-hmm.
time all the time,
right.
but was it at all, did it concern you that, oh my gosh, I'm going to isolate myself at home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really did. It really did, because I really loved the Stutz and I loved the interaction with the other artists. Loved all that. But because I do live in Fishers, there was that drive, that daunting. That was the daunting part.
You could have been daunting. Teaching while you were
yeah.
driving.
That
yeah.
was the daunting part. And then you had, if I stayed too late, like 4:35, getting back into Fishers would take me an hour to get back in.
Oh.
Or if I left too late or too early, or, you know, there was that traffic. And I would just keep telling myself, oh, I could be, like you said, I could be painting right now.
Your muse had to be on a very strict schedule.
Definitely.
She couldn't come visit during the commute
exactly.
time.
Exactly. I was like, oh, so sad about that. So I did make the decision, and it didn't come easy, because I did love the Stutz, and I do love the Stutz. The people are wonderful, and Turner, that owns the building, is just amazing. Just love it there. But it took me maybe a year or more. I just kept going over it and talking to my husband about it, and just kept going over and over what I want to do. And just made the break and went home, and wow, haven't looked back. I just absolutely love it at home, because you can just get up, have your coffee, and stay in your PJs.
Do you do anything? Is there a ritual that tells you, I'm in my studio now, it's not my home? So in other words, is there any psychological or physical process you need to do to remind yourself that just because you are in the place where you live doesn't mean you should be, I don't know, emptying the dishwasher,
mm-hmm.
doing the laundry,
mm-hmm.
that it's okay to go in your studio?
Right. I guess I would say I'm pretty disciplined that way, that this is when I taught school. My parents were teachers as well. We've always been up, not extremely early, not crazy early, but, you know, 8:30, I get up and I have my coffee. So that might be my ritual.
Yeah.
You know, and then after I have coffee, I have my breakfast, and then just put my paint clothes on and I head to the studio. And nothing really is distracting as far as, you know, doing anything else around the house. That waits until later. I'm not a nighttime person.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of artists that stay up. I'm so impressed with some of my artists that can stay up in the middle of the night, and I don't feel like a real artist sometimes. Like, wow, I don't know. You know, I just don't do that. So I paint till, you know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and I know that's my cutoff date, because our cutoff time, that's when I really start getting a little tired and have to quit. So
I think there might be a book in there. Artists can be larks too.
Really?
They don't all have to be night owls.
Hmm.
You can't be the only one.
I feel so much better now. I really do.
Art of the Matter at WFYI.org. If you're not a late night person, but you're still an artist, let us know or let Gayla know. We'll have her contact information here in a minute as well.
Yay.
I want to talk about all the paintings of yours that I have seen. And I first became aware of your work, unfortunately, fairly recently, about 3 years ago. But there's such exuberance of line, of form, and in particular of color. I have the sense that color really speaks to you. Where do you draw your inspiration, especially those vibrant reds and pinks and oranges?
Yeah, you know, I just love bright colors. I always have. And I was brought up in, born in 58 and decorated.
You lived through some psychedelic art, didn't you?
I did. I definitely did. And I think that had a great influence on me, my room was very colorful. I had the big, bright, colorful flowers, in the 60s and the 70s, especially the 60s. When I was a little girl, I had that in the 60s. And then starting in the 70s as well, I just always really gravitated to that. So I would say that would be me individually and personally, because I know there's a lot of other people, a lot of other artists that are the age I am, that their works aren't as colorful. So they make me extremely happy to paint very bright colors. I have done more neutrals for commission pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it because it's something new and different. It challenges me. But I am always, when I'm painting for myself or for a show, I do gravitate towards the really colorful colors.
Yeah.
So, especially reds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the great things about being a grown-up artist is you have a lot of experiences behind you. But sometimes, I've had this conversation with a number of people, sometimes you just kind of go, now what? Mm-hmm. And there's this wonderful program that our listeners have heard about a lot, because so many of the artists now have received the Creative Renewal Fellowships through the Arts Council of Indianapolis. And you were a 2009 Creative Renewal Fellow, and you went to something called an Intuitive Painting Workshop in Taos, New Mexico. How'd you find out about that workshop, and what is intuitive painting?
Well, intuitive painting is, I'll start there at the end. Intuitive painting is just basically painting from the intuitive. That means you meet the canvas, the white blank canvas, with no agenda. You have no ideas. Nothing's been pre-drawn. You show up, and whatever the intuitive says you want to paint, or you would have fun painting, like I just want to paint a red heart in the right corner. Well, your mind may say, well, that's going to look stupid, or why are you going to do that? And then your intuitive says, because I want to. It doesn't matter, who says it's stupid, that kind of thing. So that was really, it was such a growing experience for me to go to that, because I have been trained in the arts, do have a degree in art education. And so with that comes a lot of technical classes. So you take classes that teach you technique and organization and
process, I'm guessing.
And your
about process.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely process. So in the intuitive class, we painted with timber paints, which, you painted when you were a child.
Yeah.
And timber paints. So it's
I remember the smell. When you said that word, I remember the smell of that.
Right. Yeah. I loved it. I loved painting in tempera. And so I still do that in my studio at home, I just for myself, paint on paper and just with tempera paint. So I found out about it by a friend of mine that I had been painting and painting the poppies and just thought, I don't know, maybe there is something deeper inside me that I wanted to paint. But because I paint for shows and for audiences, I keep it, and I love to paint flowers, but I wanted to paint some other things as well, and the intuitive painting workshop out in Taos sounded like that would be the thing that would maybe just have me go deeper inside of myself for me. So it was truly for me, if that makes sense.
It does. Was it hard to throw off the shackles of the part of the brain that kept saying, no, you need to plan. No, you need to sketch it out. No, you need to, have to.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely. That was the part that I struggled with. And a lot of times I didn't know if I was really painting intuitively, because I would start, you know, planning it out and go, oh, that would look nice over here. Or I'll match the color to the right. And because this instructor was Michelle Cousseau is her name, C-A-S-S-O-U, that teaches the intuitive painting workshop. And she's been doing it for, 35, 40 years maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. And she would, come around and she would really know, she's trained and she would really know that you're in your head right now. And she would really push you to the intuitive. So after 10 days of that workshop, I felt closer to myself, probably closer to my work. And it really sparked that creativity again.
And was it the catalyst that you had hoped it would be to see if there was something inside you waiting to get out?
Definitely it did. Now my work, even though I've painted the poppies before, or I've painted landscapes or painted abstract work, it seems like now they're a little deeper, a little more textured. I'm not afraid to make a mark or leave a mark. Before I was like, oh, I have to cover that up. It has to just look perfect. And now I'm not so concerned with that.
Sharon Gamble with Gayla Hodson. The Serendipity of Gayla Hodson is her new art exhibit at Carmel's Renaissance Fine Art and Design Gallery from August 11th through the 31st. On August 11th from 5 to 10, Gayla will be there for a book signing, and this will be on behalf of Gayla's inclusion in Ashley Rooney's 100 Artists of the Midwest. Learn more at GaylaHodson.com. That's GaylaHodson.com. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 when I chat with Lou Harry and John Thomas about their Fringe show.
And I'll find out what the Young Actors Theater is doing for this year's Indie Fringe Festival.
And in a non-Fringe story, I'll talk with the library CEO, Jackie Needus, and we'll have our arts calendar we call What Do We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.